नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुन तीरवन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारे। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की जय। ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की, नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की, प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की, श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की, ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की, पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की, गंगमय की जय, यमुनामय की जय, भक्ति देवी की जय, तुलसी देवी की जय, कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय, हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की जय। All glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणा रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणा ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च। हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते, गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी, वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। नमो ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिन् इति नामिने। नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणी। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण। Hare Krishna. So we have completed the discussion of all the 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita yesterday. Today we'll have a quick overview of entire Bhagavad Gita. In 1 hour we will revisit all the 18 chapters. Let's see how it goes. Practically we may get 5 minutes per chapter, maybe less than that. So today I will just give a quick summary of each chapter, and we will focus on just one or two shlokas which are very key shlokas, so that we also see the overview of Bhagavad Gita from the perspective of its key lessons also. Okay, so as you know, Bhagavad Gita is compared with a beautiful jewel box where the lower portion, the base, constitutes the first 6 chapters of Gita that give the teachings of Karma Yoga, and the top lid is the last 6 chapters, Jnana Yoga, and the jewel inside the box is Bhakti Yoga, the middle 6 chapters. So Bhagavad Gita presents these 5 main teachings: Jiva, who am I? Ishvara, who is God? Prakriti, what is this world all about? Kala, what is the time factor? Karma, how to act. How to act in such a way that we don't incur any material reactions for our actions. So this is the these 5 topics are universally relevant topics that are very elaborately, vividly described by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. First chapter, observing the armies. So the first chapter of Gita begins with an inquiry made by Dhritarashtra, who was sitting in Hastinapur Palace. He is asking Sanjaya. Sanjaya had the ability to envision what's happening in the battlefield of Kurukshetra while sitting in the Hastinapur kingdom palace, because he was given a special shakti by Vyasadev to see something which is happening at a distant place. So Dhritarashtra asks this question. Dharma kshetre kuru kshetre samaveta yuyutsavaham mamakah pandavas chaiva kima kurvata sanjaya. Dhritarashtra is asking this question. It seems the question doesn't have much substance in it, because he says, after having been assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what did my sons and Pandu sons do? After coming there to fight, they will fight. But they did not fight, okay, immediately. So Dhritarashtra was fearful within his heart that maybe because of the influence of the holy place, Kurukshetra, my sons might compromise. They may give up the war, the plan for war. And he's hopeful that maybe Pandavas will give up their plans for war because of the influence of Dharmakshetra. So let them compromise, not my sons. Pandavas should give up their claim over the kingdom. And he's also fearful within that even if the fight happens, my sons may not be victorious because Pandu's sons are more glorious. So like that, he had so many thoughts in the mind behind asking this question. And Sanjaya starts explaining. The rest of the first chapter is just Sanjaya's explanation of what's happening on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So he says, first Duryodhan goes to Dronacharya and Bhishma and starts describing the armies on both sides. So my army is like this, it's protected by Bhishma, who is a more experienced military general, and Pandava's army is guided by or overseen by Bhima, who is less experienced general. So we are in a better situation. But inside he was fearful. How could Pandavas, who have been living in the forests for the last 13 years, gather such huge army? Internally he was very insecure, fearful. But externally he was showing some diplomacy and saying that we are in a better situation. All of you should protect Bhishma. Bhishma is our great general. So then Bhishma saw what Duryodhan is undergoing. He said, fine, no problem. Let's encourage my grandson. He took his conch shell, started blowing the conch shell, marking the beginning of the battle. So Arjuna, at this moment, Bhishma blew his conch shell. Later, we have other personalities, Krishna, all the Pandavas, they started blowing their conch shells. Okay. Then Arjuna told Krishna, Krishna, can you please take the chariot in the middle of both the armies so that I can observe who all have assembled on the battlefield of Kurukshetra to please the evil-minded son of Dhritarashtra. Then Arjuna, when he requested like this, Krishna took the chariot between both the armies. It's not that Arjuna did not know. He was there in all the meetings. He knows who all will assemble on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Although he confronted, he was not convinced. There is no conviction. He came to fight with his own relatives, but still his heart is still having some emotions. So he was not totally prepared to fight. Although he picked up his bow and arrows, he was about to shoot the arrows, then he said, let me go and see once. So Krishna took the chariot between both the armies, and Arjuna started observing all his relatives, his cousins, his fathers, grandfathers, sons, grandsons, relatives, maternal uncles. So seeing all categories of relatives, Arjuna became overwhelmed with compassion, with emotion. So that was one of the reasons why Arjuna declined to fight. I said, I cannot fight. He said, he cannot fight. So second reason is, Arjuna felt that even if I fight in this battle and win the war, I won't be able to enjoy. Because whatever prosperity that we gain is only to enjoy it amongst our friends, with our friends, with our relatives. When the relatives and friends are not there, where is the scope of enjoyment? I won't be able to enjoy a prosperous kingdom without my relatives. He forces no enjoyment. That's the second reason why he said he cannot fight. Third reason, he was fearful of sinful reactions. When we kill so many people on the battlefield, we'll incur sin. Although it's a dharmic battle, but still, killing is happening. That is sin. So, I'm not ready to accept the sinful reactions that I will get by killing my own relatives. Then fourth reason. He felt that so many people, so many soldiers and warriors on the battlefield will die. When they die, their family members will not have any guidance. Especially the younger members of their families will not have proper guidance from the elders, and they will be misguided, and innocent women may sometimes be exploited by unscrupulous men, and children will not get proper guidance from elders, and all the vratas and the family traditions will be lost. So I will become the cause of destroying their family and family traditions. I won't be able to fight now. So, because of these four reasons, Arjuna declined. Arjuna said, I cannot fight, my dear Govinda. So that brings us to the second chapter. In the second chapter, Krishna introduces us to so many terminologies, so many teachings. Okay. So there is Karma Yoga, there is Bhakti also in this. That's why the title of this chapter is Contents of Gita Summarized. So Arjuna is very indecisive. He could not understand what is good for him. And Arjuna, he was chastised by Krishna. Arjuna was overwhelmed with compassion, lamentation and tears. And Krishna said, Klaibhyam masmagamaha partha nayitatvai upapadyate. Kshudram hradaya daurbalyam tyaktva uttishta param tapa. Give up this weakness, give up this impotency. You should just get up and fight. Then again Arjuna expresses his confusions and how can I fight with my own relatives? And finally accepts Krishna as his guru. Karpanya doshopahata svabhavaham Prichhamitvam dharma sammoodha chetaham. श्रेयस्यानिश्चितं ब्रूहितन्मे शिष्यस्तेऽहं शाधिमां त्वां प्रपन्नम्। कार्पण्यदोष अपहतस्वभाव, कृष्ण आई एम ओवरवेलम्ड विथ मैजरली वीकनेस। वाई अर्जुन इज कंपेरिंग हिमसेल्फ विथ अ मैजर? ए मैजर इज वन हु हैज अ लॉट ऑफ वेल्थ बट ही डजंट स्पेंड इट फॉर हिज ओन बेनिफिट और एंजॉयमेंट। ओके, सिमिलरली एज अ ह्यूमन बीइंग व्हेन वी आर नॉट यूटिलाइजिंग अवर इंटेलिजेंस फॉर सेल्फ रियलाइजेशन वी आर मैजरली। And in Arjuna's context, he's a Kshatriya, he has the power to fight, but he's not utilizing that power to fight with his enemies to get his rightful kingdom. So he's miserly. So I am overwhelmed with miserly weakness. So Prichhami Tvam, I'm asking you, Dharma Sammodha Chetaha. I'm confused about my duty. In this context, I'm asking you, what exactly is my duty? Yaha Shreyasyan, what is auspicious to me? Please, Nishchitam Bruhi, please certainly you should tell me, right? Sishyaste Aham, I am accepting myself as your disciple. So you are my guru and I am your student. So Prapannam, I have surrendered unto you. Then Krishna smiles and begins his teachings. From the 11th shloka of 2nd chapter, Krishna begins to give his teachings. So first teaching of Bhagavad Gita is the difference between body and soul. देहिनोस्मिन् यथा देहे कौमारं यौवनं जरा तथा देहांतरप्राप्तेर् धीरस्तत्र न मुह्यति। देहिनो अस्मिन् यथा देहि, देहि मीन्स वन हु इज इन अ देहा, लिविंग बीइंग, एन एम्बॉडीड सोल। सो जस्ट लाइक एन एम्बॉडीड सोल पासेस विद इन वन बॉडी from infancy to boyhood to youth and old age, similarly at the time of death the soul goes from one body to another body. Dhirastatrana muhyati, if you are a dhira, if you are a dhira purush, sober person, wise person, you should not get bewildered by such a change, because bodies will change. That's natural, that's inevitable. But Arjuna's point is, yeah, I understand, body is temporary, soul is permanent, soul has no death, and even if the soul leaves one body, the soul will get another body. I accept all your points, but my connection with my relatives is through this body. So I will be missing that body. Then Krishna says, yes, I agree with that. You have to tolerate it. Matra sparshastu kaunteya sitoshna sukha dukkhadaha आगमापायिनो नित्याः तां स्थितिक्षस्व भारत। सो कृष्ण इज स्पीकिंग टू अर्जुन, यू शुड टॉलरेट इट। आई अंडरस्टैंड इट्स नॉट वेरी ईजी लॉजिकली, इट सीम्स दैट सोल हैज नो डेथ, बट इमोशनली योर कनेक्शन विद दैट पर्सन इज थ्रू द बॉडी। व्हेन द बॉडी इज नॉट देयर यू विल फील बैड, यू हैव टू टॉलरेट दैट इमोशंस, बिकॉज heat and cold are temporary, happiness and distress are also temporary. So knowing the temporary nature of various circumstances in this world, you should learn to tolerate. Sita ushna sukha dukkhadaha. We make so many arrangements to protect us from Sita and Ushna. We have shawls in winter, we have fans and ACs in summer, but how many arrangements do we make to deal with happiness and distress? So heat and cold are experienced on a physical plane, but happiness and distress are experienced internally on a mental plane. So we should also equip our minds with the necessary tolerance and strength to deal with happiness and distress. When there is a happy moment, we don't have to become so excited, over elated, overconfident and proud. And when there is distress, we should not become so demotivated, discouraged and dysfunctional. Okay? So we should be able to deal with both, because both are temporary. Agama, apayino, anityaha. They appear, they disappear, and they are anitya. They are temporary. So one who is able to maintain that equanimity in various material circumstances is eligible for liberation. सो दैट इज यम हि न व्यथयन्त्येते पुरुषं पुरुषर्षभ सम दुख सुखम धीरम सोमृतत्वाय कल्पते. सो देर इज हैप्पीनेस एंड देर इज डिस्ट्रेस ऑन ए मेटीरियल प्लेन. वन हु इज नॉट ओवरवेलम्ड बाय दिस मेटीरियल circumstances is eligible for liberation. He is ready for spiritual plane. So this is the first teaching of Krishna. So then Krishna continues to explain the science of soul. Essentially this whole section has this one line summary. That is, soul is eternal and body is temporary. Don't worry, fight. Okay. So body is never alive, soul is ever alive. So for this there is no need for you to worry, just fight. Then Krishna speaks sakama karma. Sakama karma means, actually Krishna, Arjuna gave an explanation, right? He said, even if I gain this kingdom, I won't be able to enjoy without my relatives. So Krishna says, if you fight and win in the war, you can enjoy the prosperous kingdom of Hastinapur. If you lose in the war, if you die in the battle, then you can enjoy heavenly planets. So, whether you win or lose in this battle, enjoyment is guaranteed. Therefore, work. This is not the ultimate teaching of Bhagavad Gita, the Sakama Karma. But it's one way people function. They work for enjoyment. Because Arjuna gave that argument, I cannot enjoy if I fight. Krishna is giving this argument. You will definitely enjoy. This enjoyment is on a material plane. And this is not the ultimate teaching of Bhagavad Gita. In our kids' course also, some child said that, Prabhu, why Krishna is saying that we have to go to Swargaloka? We have to go to Goloka, right? So that's why in this section of Sakama Karma, where Krishna talks about going to heaven and enjoying there, we should understand it's not the ultimate teaching of Bhagavad Gita. One of the so many things that he mentioned. Then he speaks Nishkama Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. Detached work without reactions. So karma, you perform your work, but nishkama, without desiring the results of the work, without desiring to enjoy the results of the work. Okay, so then in this nishkama karma yoga, we should have one pointed focus on the goal. Vyavasayatmika buddhi ekeha kurunandana bahushakhahya nantascha buddhayo vyavasayinam. Those who are very determined, those who have one-pointed focus on their goals, will attain the goals, will become successful in yoga. But those whose intelligence is going in 10 different directions, they are called avyavasayinam, because they have no focus, they have no concentration on the goal, so they won't attain their goals. So this is one important teaching of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna emphasizes on determination. Then finally, Krishna speaks about sthita prajna. People who are liberated, they are called nitya muktas, not nitya mukta, jivan muktas. So qualities of liberated souls. So liberated souls are not excited with the material happiness or distress in this material world. They have a higher taste. Vishayavini vartante niraharasya dehinaha rasavarjyam rasopyasya param drishtvani vartate. So an enlightened soul or a sthita prajna. Prajna means intelligence, sthita means to be situated in. Sthita prajna is a wise person who is fixed in his good intelligence. He doesn't get affected by material circumstances. Such people have higher taste, param drishtvani vartate. So they can give up their taste for lower pleasures. Okay. So that brings us to the third chapter, Karma Yoga, where Krishna speaks about the smart art of doing work without incurring any reactions. So Arjuna's point is, should I renounce or should I fight? So two things, renunciation or action. So he is a bit confused about these things. Should I fight or not fight? Then Krishna said, you fight, but with a detached spirit. You fight because it is your duty, and you fight for the pleasure of the Lord. Yajna arthat karmanon yatra lokoyam karma bandhanaha तदर्थं कर्म कौन्तेय मुक्तसंगः समाचर। यज्ञार्थात् कर्मणो यू परफॉर्म योर ड्यूटीज, वेदर इट इज फाइटिंग और सम अदर ड्यूटी, यू परफॉर्म इट फॉर द सेक ऑफ यज्ञ। यज्ञ इज द लॉर्ड, सो लॉर्ड इज लॉर्ड ऑफ सैक्रिफाइस कृष्ण, सो यू वर्क फॉर मी। अन्यत्र लोकोयम कर्मबंधनः, इफ यू डू योर वर्क फॉर योर ओन एंजॉयमेंट दैट विल क्रिएट कर्मबंधन, दैट विल क्रिएट अ बॉन्डेज। बट इफ यू वर्क फॉर द प्लेजर ऑफ द लॉर्ड एज अ सर्विस टू द लॉर्ड, देर इज नो बंधन। ओके, मुक्त संगः, यू विल बी डिटैच्ड फ्रॉम, यू विल बी रिलीव्ड फ्रॉम ऑल अटैचमेंट्स। सो आफ्टर दिस कृष्ण स्पीक्स द साइकिल ऑफ सैक्रिफाइस, द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड अक्षर, सो ही इज द वन हू हैज गिवन अस वेदास, एंड वेदास present prescribed duties for various sections of human society, and as a part of prescribed duties people perform yajnas or sacrifices, and because of yajnas they get clouds, and clouds will give rains, and rains will give grains, and the grains are the source of sustenance for bhutani, for all living beings. So the living beings are supposed to offer that food to the Lord before they eat, otherwise they are eating only sin, they are called thieves. Okay, so this is the cycle of sacrifice. Then later Krishna speaks about nishkama karma. Now we have to perform our prescribed duties for our purification, that's Krishna's recommendation, and that by doing that prescribed duties you will connect to Krishna, that is called karma yoga. So karma has multiple meanings. Basically karma means action, work. Karma can also mean reaction to an action. Karma can also mean prescribed action, an action that is prescribed in the scriptures, okay, according to one's varna and ashram and other things. Karma can also mean fruitive action, means an action that you do with an intention to enjoy its result, okay. Then fifth, karma can also mean the whole chain of actions and reactions. So these are multiple ways. So now many times the word karma has the meaning of prescribed action. Sometimes it's reaction also. So you perform your prescribed action, to set right example for common people. Once you are purified, when you don't have any material desire, when you are completely purified of your material desires and anarthas, when you are completely detached, you have no inclination to enjoy on a material plane, at that level you don't have to perform your prescribed action. Okay, prescribed action is meant for purification. One who is already purified of all material desires need not perform that prescribed action as such. Okay, so that is the level of jnana yoga. But Krishna says, even if you are qualified to perform jnana yoga, even if you have no attachment to the kingdom, even if you have no attachment to enjoying the results of your duties, still you perform your activities to set an example for common people. For example, there is Janaka Maharaj. Janaka Maharaj is performing his duties as a king, although he has absolutely no attachment to the kingly opulences. Okay, so even if you are qualified, even if you are detached, better you do your prescribed duties so that common people will get a direction. Okay, that's what Krishna says now. Yadyada charati sreshtaham tattadevetaro janaham सयत् प्रमाणं कुरुते लोकस्तदनुवर्तते। वट एवर ग्रेट पीपल डू कॉमन पीपल विल फॉलो, सो यू सेट राइट एग्जांपल। अर्जुन, इफ यू रन अवे फ्रॉम फाइट नाउ, पीपल विल नॉट थिंक दैट यू आर सो मैग्नानिमस, यू हैव नो अटैचमेंट टू द किंगडम, दैट्स व्हाई यू आर गिविंग अप द वॉर। दे विल थिंक इन अ डिफरेंट वे, दे विल थिंक दैट सीइंग भीष्म द्रोण दुर्योधन दुशासन कर्ण शकुनी अर्जुन बिकेम फियरफुल, ही रन अवे फ्रॉम बैटल फील्ड, and that's how they will spread news. So better you perform your prescribed duties and set the right example for common people. If you abandon your prescribed duties, then you will become an object of ridicule by common people, and in future other kshatriyas also will take your example and they will show their back in the battles. Okay, so then some people think that they are doing everything. You perform your activity and you are one of the doers of your activity. There are many other doers. Prakriti is also doer. Purusha is also the doer. That Krishna will clarify in the fifth chapter more. But he says, some people think that they perform activities and they are entitled for the results, they are enjoying the results, this and that. So they have a sense of doership, they have a sense of enjoyership. So a Nishkama Karma Yogi is one who is not supposed to think like that. He will do his activities, but he will not attribute doership or enjoyership to himself. Okay, because he understands this. Prakritehe kriyamanani gunaihi karmani sarvashah ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Prakritehe kriyamanani. Prakriti is doing everything. Okay, there are three qualities of the material nature, three gunas. They are sattva guna, rajaguna, and tamoguna. Because of the influence of these three gunas, people are doing so many things. But some people who are ahankara vimudhatma, because of their ego, they become so ignorant and foolish that they think that we are kartas. We are the only kartas. Karta aham iti manyati. I am the karta. Because of ahankara, he is thinking karta is aham. I am the doer. So, but prakriti is doing everything. But what is the ideal way of doing your work? What is the smart art of performing your prescribed duties? You work not just with detachment, but also with devotion. Then that karma yoga is not karma yoga. It is bhakti yoga. Okay. So in karma yoga, detachment and cultivating detachment is given more prominence. But in bhakti yoga, all that work is happening with devotion. Devotion includes detachment. Detachment need not include devotion. So that's why Krishna says, this is bhakti yoga shloka, not karma yoga shloka. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasyadhyatma chetasam nirashir nirmamo bhutva yudhyasva vigata jvaraham. Mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. It's not just sanyasya. Sanyasya means give up attachment to all your activities or results of your activities. But Krishna is saying, give up your results to me, mayi. Sarvani karmani. Krishna did not say sarvani karmani sanyasya. He said mayi sarvani karmani sanyasya. Offer all your activities to me. Offer all the results of your activities to me. Sanyasya. Adhyatma chetasa. With a spiritual consciousness you perform your duties. Nirashir means without any asha, without any desire for result. Nirmama, without any sense of proprietorship or possessiveness. Nirmamo bhutva. Yudhyasva, perform your duty. Vigata jvaraha. Jvara is not fever here. Jvara is lethargy here. Vigata jvara means don't be lethargic, don't be lazy to perform your duty. Because the results are not mine, why should I perform? I am not going to enjoy the results. Why should I perform this duty? Don't think like that. You perform work for me without any lethargy. Okay? Dedicated work. Then in perform this, that is yoga, Nishkama Karma Yoga. So while performing this yoga, one greatest obstacle in the life of a sadhaka is lust, which is the greatest enemy. Kama yesha krodha yesha rajo guna samudbhavah mahashano mahapapma vidhyena mihavairinam. Kama yesha krodha yesha. It is only lust which later gets converted into wrath when it is not fulfilled. That is the greatest enemy for a spiritual seeker. So with this, Krishna begins to give transcendental knowledge, the Jnana Yoga chapter. So Krishna first gives the lineage of this spiritual knowledge. So it is coming from me later to different Rajarshis, and through them the spiritual knowledge is transparently transmitted to common people. But over a period of time that is lost. So every time it is lost, I come to revive it once again. Okay, and Krishna talks about his own divine nature. Yada he says, ajopisan avyayatma bhutanam ishwaropisan. Then he also says, whenever he descends, when he descends, whenever there is dharma, whenever dharma is declining, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyutthanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham. So dharma is based on these four legs, satyam, daya, tapah, shaucham. So the four legs are becoming weak. And adharma is increasing. Adharma is based on all the anarthas like kama, krodha, lobha, moha. When adharma is increasing and dharma is decreasing, Krishna wants to reverse the situation. That's the time where he comes and he does these three things. Paritranaya sadhunam, protecting the virtues, vinashaya cha dushkritam, punishing the vicious, dharma samsthapanarthaya, to establish dharma, Krishna comes. And all his appearances and activities are divine. One who understands the divinity of Krishna's appearance and activities is eligible to go to the spiritual world. Right? Naiti mamiti sorjuna. Then Krishna deals with different people in different ways. That's another beautiful shloka. Ye thamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. The way you approach me, I will reciprocate with you. Okay? And he only created the four varanas. And he also describes how one can attain knowledge by performing their prescribed karmas. Okay? So, he gives a big list. Brahmacharis perform these karmas and get knowledge. Grihasthas perform these karmas, they get knowledge. And Ashtanga yogis do these karmas, they get their knowledge. So, ultimately, the performance of all the prescribed actions will culminate in mature knowledge and detachment. At that stage, one is eligible for liberation. So this is how one needs to develop knowledge, transcendental knowledge. And Krishna also says that one can develop transcendental knowledge by taking shelter of a guru and hearing from that guru. Tadvidhi pranipatenam pariprashnena sevayam upadekshyanti te jnanam jnaninah tattva darshinah. When we approach a guru with submissiveness, with relevant enquiries and with service attitude, a bona fide guru will bestow spiritual knowledge to us. Okay? So, just enquiries are not sufficient to acquire knowledge. Submissiveness is required and service is also required. Service is that circuit that converts the input of theoretical knowledge into the output of practical realization. Even Bhagavatam also says this. So, by relevant enquiries, you definitely get knowledge. But that knowledge has to convert into realization, right? We need to absorb, assimilate it, internalize it, realize it, apply it. And opportunities to apply that knowledge will come when we render practical service in the association of devotees. Okay? And just service is not sufficient, knowledge is not sufficient. We should also have the right attitude. That is pranipata. That is submissiveness, obedience to spiritual master, obedience to senior Vaishnavas. So, submissiveness, relevant enquiries, and service. So, knowledge, seva, and attitude. So, all these three things will make the spiritual life more complete. Then Krishna begins the fifth chapter, and Arjuna had again one more question, which is similar to what he has asked in the third chapter. Should I take sannyasa or should I perform my prescribed duty? So should I do, what do you mean by karma sannyasa? So Krishna is emphasizing sannyasa in karma, not sannyasa of karma. So sannyasa in karma means renunciation in work, not renunciation of work. So you maintain a detached spirit while performing your duty. Don't give up the duty itself. Because in one of the previous chapters, Krishna spoke that Dureena Hyavaram Karma. In the second chapter, he spoke. In the fourth chapter also, he said, you give up this karma. Basically, give up attachment to karma does not mean give up attachment to work, give up attachment to result of the work. But Arjuna took karma as work itself and not the result of the work. So because of that, Krishna has to elaborate on this again. Then he speaks about the Nishkama Karma Yogi more. Yoga Yukto Vishuddhatma Vijitatma Jitendriyaha Sarva Bhutatma Bhutatma Kurvan Napina Lipyate. Yoga Yukto. Yoga means to connect with Krishna. So when you are doing all your prescribed duties with an intention to connect with Krishna, then and along with vijitatma jitendriha, self-control, sense control, mind control, and also maintain good friendly relationships with everybody, then although we are performing hundreds of actions, we are not entangled by it. So action is happening apparently on a material plane, but it is actually a spiritual activity. okay, which is not incurring any material reactions, because it's brahmanyadhaya karmani, work done to as an offering to the Supreme. And such mature worker, karma yogi or jnana yogi, and in the highest sense bhakti yogi also, will have an equipoised disposition, right? Means equanimity towards everyone. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavihastini sunichaiva swapakecha panditaha samadarshinaha. A pandita, a wise person, sees a cow, an elephant, a brahmana, a dog or dog eater on an equal plane. Not that they are literally equal in all respects, but they are all equal on a spiritual plane because they are souls. And there is super soul within everybody's heart. And materially speaking also, although the body's shape and sizes are different, the contents are same, earth, water, fire, air, ether. Okay. So, a mature spiritualist is one who sees spiritual equality behind bodily differences. Different bodies are there, different styles of functioning are there, but spiritually seeing, everybody is a soul, a part and parcel of Krishna, an amsha of Krishna, a child of God. So in that sense, everybody is same, in that sense. Okay. Then finally, Krishna gives this peace formula. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhrudam sarvabhutanam jnatvamam shanti mruchati. Krishna is the bhokta, enjoyer of all activities. And he is the supreme proprietor of all planets. We are not the enjoyers, we are not the proprietors, we are not the masters, we are not the controllers. Okay. Suhrudam sarva bhutanam, and he is the supreme well-wisher. Sometimes people think that I am the well-wisher, I am the savior. God has made all these people beggars and I am feeding them. Okay, I am God. So there is a too much sense of self-importance. But one who understands that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, supreme proprietor, supreme master, supreme controller, supreme well-wisher, he is really in peace. One who attributes all these designations to oneself is agitated, is not peaceful. Okay, so shanti mruchyati. Then Krishna talks about dhyana yoga, where one tries to connect with the Lord through meditation. In this dhyana yoga, mind is the pivot. So uddare dhatmanatmanam, mind can be one's enemy if it is one's friend, if it is controlled, but uncontrolled mind is one's enemy. That's the essence of these two shlokas. So mind can be friend, mind can be enemy also. And in Ashtanga Yoga practice, one has to control the mind and engage all one's senses in the meditation. Basically, Ashtanga Yoga has 8 stages. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara. These are the 5 preliminary limbs that are meant to prepare us for meditation. Then the next 3 stages are meditation only. Dharana is the preliminary meditation. Dhyana is much deeper meditation. Samadhi is complete trance in that meditation. So this is in this whole 8 steps of Ashtanga Yoga, mind control is the pivot. So, and one has to also regulate one's diet, one's sleep, one's recreation, one's working habits. So, and try to control the mind. Wherever the mind goes, you bring the mind back. Yato, yato, nishchalati, manas chanchalam asthiram. Mind is extremely fickle. Whenever the mind goes here and there, try to bring it back and focus on your meditation. Okay, when mind goes here somewhere, mind takes us also along with itself, and mind will not allow us to come back to focus on our work. So, that's the attentiveness basically means making an attempt to bring the mind back. When we are not attempting to bring the mind back, it is inattentiveness. Okay, so one cannot exactly have complete mind control in the practice stage, but one should practice to bring the mind back whenever it goes away. That's attentive sadhaka. Then Krishna, Arjuna said, I can't control this mind, it's too much. I can control wind, but I cannot control mind. Then Krishna says, don't worry. I understand it is very difficult to control the mind, but by two things you can control. One is abhyasa, second is vairagya. So try to practice, practice, practice. Bring the mind back, wherever it wanders. Practice it, okay? And also, be detached from anything that is unfavorable to your progress in bhakti. Then finally, Krishna establishes bhakti yogi as the topmost yogi. Yogi nam api sarvesham madgate anantaratmanam shraddhavan bhajate yomam same yukta tamo matah. Of all the yogis, one who is constantly absorbed in thinking of the Lord with devotion, with love, is the best yogi. Such a yogi is bhakti yogi. After establishing bhakti yogi's position as the topmost yogi, Krishna elaborates on the process of bhakti yoga from 7th chapter till 12th chapter. So 7 to 12 is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And he begins the 7th chapter by saying that Krishna, Arjuna, you will get knowledge about me by hearing. So tat shrunu, yatha jnasisi tat shrunu. First hear about me, from me directly. So many people hear about Krishna from devotees of Krishna, but Arjuna had the another unique opportunity to hear about Krishna from Krishna himself. You hear first, okay? Krishna starts speaking about his own energies. He speaks about two kinds of energies here. One is material energy, bhumi rapo nalo vayuh khammano buddhirevacha. The next is spiritual energy, which is the jiva. He will not speak about antaranga shakti at this moment, okay? He is speaking about jiva shakti, which is also spiritual, that has a ability to exploit the material nature, but also has a vulnerability to get exploited by material nature. Okay, so jiva is superior energy that can control and exploit the material nature, but if the jiva is misusing independence, the jiva will come under the control of maya. Material energy will control that person. Okay, so then material energy and spiritual energy. Krishna is the master of both the energies. Everything that we see in this world is a combination of these two energies, spirit and matter. And Krishna is the underlying thread in that great necklace of which is made of multiple elements in this material world. You compare all the material objects in this universe to small monies, small beads, and all of them are strung together in a necklace with the thread of Krishna. Krishna is that invisible thread. Mattaha parataram nanyat kinchidasti dhananjaya mayi sarvamidam protam sutre manigana iva. So everything is resting on Krishna. Everything is dependent on Krishna. So how to protect oneself from that maya, from the allurement of maya? Krishna says, daivi hiesha gunamayi mama maya duratyayam mamevaye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. So one who wants to protect oneself from the allurement of maya must take shelter of Krishna. Later Krishna speaks about four kinds of people who surrender to him and four kinds of people who do not surrender to him. These four people who try to surrender to Krishna are sukritinas, others are dushkritinas. And one who is completely devoid of sinful propensities will be able to effectively perform bhakti. And some people with so many material desires, they take shelter of different devatas to get their desires quickly fulfilled, but they are considered not very intelligent. Okay, that's the 7th chapter. In the 8th chapter, Krishna speaks about the art of leaving. That is, how to remember the Lord at the time of death. If you remember Krishna at the time of death, you will attain Krishna. If you remember something else, you will attain that something. So what we remember at the time of death decides our destination after death. Okay, the disposition of a living being at the time of death decides the destination of the living being after death. So what is a person's disposition at the time of death? Whatever he has been going through throughout life. That's why Krishna said, Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mam anusmara yudhyacha. Perform your prescribed duties, but you should also think of me always. So by doing so, you will be able to remember me at the time of death and you will be able to come to me after death. Okay. Then Krishna speaks about Ananya Chetaha Satam Yomam Smarati Nityashaha Tasya Aham Sulabha Partha Nitya Yuktasya Yoginaha. So Sulabha. Sulabha means very easy. So it's very easy to attain Krishna through bhakti, but not that easy to attain Krishna through other processes. Vedeshu Yagneshu Tapasu Chaiva Daneshu Yat Punya Phala Pradishtam Atyeti Tatsarva Midam Viditva Yogi Param Sthanam Upaiti Chadyam. What you attain by Vedas, Yajnas, Tapas, Danas, Vratas, Homas, etc., you can attain all of that by performing bhakti. And you will attain much more than that also. Okay? So much more also we can attain. That's the greatness of the path of bhakti. Then Krishna gives more confidential knowledge, most confidential knowledge here. What Krishna spoke from 2nd chapter to 6th chapter is confidential knowledge. What Krishna spoke in 7th and 8th chapters is more confidential knowledge, Guhyatara. 9th and 10th chapters are most confidential knowledge, Guhyatama. So this is Rajavidya, Rajaguhyam. And Krishna says that he is all pervading. Everything is there inside him and he is inside everything. So thus Krishna describes his relationship with the material world, and he says only by my superintendence everything in this entire material universe is functioning. But materialistic people, mudhas, fools, don't understand me. Avajananti maam mudha manushim tanum ashrita. But devotees, on the other hand, they take complete shelter of me. They actually take shelter of the divine energy and worship me.
Mahatmanastu maam partha daivim prakriti maashritaha bhajantyananya manaso jnatva bhutadim avyayam.
Mahatmas or great souls are those who take shelter of Srimati Radharani, Daivi Prakriti, and worship Krishna. Okay. And they also always chant the holy names of the Lord. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantasya dradhavrataha. So these two shlokas are right in the middle of Bhagavad Gita. Out of 700 shlokas, the middle two shlokas are shloka number 350 and 351. These are these two shlokas. Mahatmanastu and Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. So Krishna kept Radharani and Kirtan, holy name, right in the middle. So then Krishna also says that there are worshippers of other devatas also. So these people desire some quick results. But on the other hand, my devotees do not desire any material results, but they are completely focused on serving me without any deviations in the mind. And in the case of such devotees, I personally take care of the burden of their responsibilities. Ananyas chintayanto mam yajanaha paryupasate tesham nitya abhiyuktanam yogakshemam vahamyaham. I will take care of the needs of my devotees. I will supply whatever they don't have. I will preserve whatever they have. It's not exactly material possessions that Krishna will preserve. Krishna will preserve whatever we need for our spiritual advancement. Krishna will take away whatever we don't need for our spiritual advancement, whatever is obstacle for our spiritual advancement. Okay. Krishna will supply what devotees lack. Okay. Krishna has given Sudama so much wealth. Krishna will preserve whatever devotees have. But Krishna has taken away Bali Maharaj's property. He did not preserve it. He destroyed it. He removed it from him. So whatever is unfavorable to bhakti, Krishna will remove that. Whatever is favorable to bhakti, Krishna will give that. Okay. And whatever we have, if it is favorable for our bhakti, Krishna will retain it, preserve it. Unless we commit offenses and we throw it. Okay. But Krishna wants to preserve whatever devotion and facilities for devotion that we have at this moment. Okay. And Krishna will give more facilities to advance in devotional life. So we need to understand this in proper context. Yogaksham Vahamiham does not mean, okay, Krishna will make every devotee prosperous in a material sense. And glories of Krishna Bhakti are further advanced through this simple shloka, Aspatram Pushpam Phalam Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati. How devotees
offer even small presentations to Krishna, and they will become objects of Krishna's affection. So it doesn't need that a person has to become very wealthy to worship Krishna. So even the most inexpensive offerings offered by a poor person also can completely please Krishna. But when the bhakti is missing, then even the most expensive offerings made by wealthiest people may not please Krishna. Okay, bhakti is the main element there. Then Krishna is equal to everyone. Samoham sarva bhuteshu name dveshyosti na priyaha. He is equal to everyone. And equal to everyone does not mean he is completely equal in treatment. This is how he treats every single living being. That's not the message there. He will treat everyone in a relevant manner, in an appropriate manner. It's appropriate treatment, not exactly literally equal treatment. For example, father is equal to all children. One child is in second standard, second child is in sixth standard. I'm equal to all my children. I will purchase second standard books for both kids. It doesn't work, right? Sixth standard kid requires sixth standard books. Second standard kid requires second standard books. So that is equality, okay? It's like appropriate treatment, not literally equal treatment, okay? So that is one. So definitely Krishna is equal to all in the sense that he stays as super soul in all living beings' hearts. But he's specially inclined towards devotees because they are approaching him more. So he's reciprocal. So in one sense, he's partial to devotees. He's impartial as super soul, but he's partial to devotees also. But in fact, he's impartial towards everyone. Because he's impartially partial to everyone in giving them an opportunity to enter the arena of his partiality. If you become my devotee, I'll become partial to you. If you're not my devotee, I'm neutral to everyone. I'm equal to all. But if you become my devotee, I can become partial to you. But who can become his devotee? Anyone can become devotee. Means Krishna is impartially partial to everyone. Whether we want to enter the arena of his partiality or not, it's our choice, right? But he can become partial to everybody, okay? If you become a devotee. So then what about an imperfect devotee? A devotee may have so many imperfections. A devotee may have so many flaws, so many shortcomings, especially in the practice days. How does Krishna deal with such a devotee? Krishna excuses such a devotee if the mistakes are accidental, incidental, circumstantial, not intentional. So when the mistakes done by a devotee are accidental or incidental, not premeditated, Krishna will excuse. But if they are premeditated, they're purposefully done, then they may get a token reaction, definitely. But point is, Krishna doesn't penalize a devotee for the accidental mistakes of a devotee. Okay, so that's the hope for a devotee. Next, finally, Krishna gives this. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mame vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayanaham. So manmana means always think of Krishna. Bhava madbhaktu, become my devotee. Why these two things are mentioned separately? Manmana, doesn't it include madbhakto, bhava madbhakto? Always think of me. Only devotees always think of Krishna, right? Why two statements Krishna has to make separately? Because Kamsa also always thought of Krishna. Shishupal also always thought of Krishna. When you say manmana, always think of Krishna in a devotional mood, not with envy, not with fear, not with hatred, like Shishupal did, like Hiranyakashipu did, like Kamsa did. So Manmana can be applicable to Kamsa also. He's completely Krishna conscious, but he's fearful. It's applicable to Shishupal also. He's thoroughly Krishna conscious, but with envy. Don't become Manmana like that. Manmana bhava madbhakto. As a devotee, you do it. Then Madhyaji, worship me. Mam namaskuru, offer obeisances to me. And this is the essence of the essence of the essence of entire Bhagavad Gita, this one shloka. Gita itself is essence of all Upanishads, Sarva Upanishad, Ogava, Dogdha, Gopalanandanaha. And essence of essence is middle six chapters. Essence of the essence is the middle two chapters, 9 and 10. And further essence is 9.34, Manmana Bhava Madbhakto. Krishna repeats this essence in the 18th chapter also. It's 9:05. We completed 9 chapters, half of Bhagavad Gita. Yes, I asked the coordinator, should I take 9 more minutes in 1 minute summary? Shall I give all 18 chapters or shall we stop here? Okay, 10th chapter. So, in the 10th chapter, Krishna gives 4 very, very important shlokas where he establishes himself to be the source and foundation and the sustenance of everything. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mattah sarvam pravartati iti matva bhajanti mam buddha bhava samanvitah. Krishna is all pervading. He is the source of everything in the material and spiritual worlds. Iti matva, knowing this, bhajanti mam, if you worship me, if you serve me, buddha bhava samanvitaha, with your intelligence and with your emotions, and you are the most intelligent person. So Krishna is saying that bhajante mam, serve me, buddha, with intelligence, bhava, with emotions. Krishna is saying that you use your hand, head and heart, all three in my service. Okay, service done at a physical plane, service done at an intellectual plane, service done at a mental plane, emotions also. So we try to connect with Krishna with emotions, so bhava samanvitaha, and also with intelligence. We understand intelligently how great Krishna is. Don't just use your intelligence to understand my powers only. Also render service to me. Don't just do some work for me and intelligently understand that I am God, but also have emotions for me, right? So, using intelligence means Krishna is God. Having emotions means Krishna is my God. There's a connection established, right? He is my God. It's not just God. Intelligent people understand Krishna is God. But devotees means He is my God. Okay? And I'll serve Him. So, all three are needed. Then, machitta madgata prana bodhayantaha parasparam. How devotees are always Krishna conscious by discussing about Krishna. Basically, sadhu sangha, our devotee association is a great way to advance in spiritual life, to nourish ourselves with devotion. But although sadhu sangha has that potential to help in our spiritual advancement, we can access that potential only when we have spiritual discussion in that sangha. There are devotees, they come together and they discuss 10 different things. They may be gossiping about someone, they may speak about material topics, they may interact on in different ways. But unless we bring in Krishna Katha in the discussion, core spiritual discussion about Krishna's Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela, we cannot access the potential of Sadhu Sangha. Every sadhu has, even at a practicing stage, every sadhu has some love for Krishna. Let that love be expressed through words. And those words, let those words enter the ear holes. And you also speak and let your words, your appreciation for Krishna enter the ear holes of other devotee. Thus, when you come to know how much each other love Krishna, then collectively we develop our love for Krishna with good friendships amongst each other also. So, spiritual discussions done between devotees will enhance one's individual love for Krishna. And collectively, our love for Krishna is enhanced and our relationships also will become nice. So, if the interactions are totally based on action and many various other activities, and if you don't bring in Krishna Katha in the center of our discussions, then we will not know how much all the devotees around us appreciate Krishna, love Krishna. So, when we bring in Krishna Katha, and when we hear another devotee's genuine appreciation for Krishna, we develop love for that devotee, we develop love for Krishna also. Thus, this one shloka is very, very important for us to individually and collectively become more and more Krishna conscious. So next, Krishna will destroy the intelligence, destroy the ignorance of devotees by giving them spiritual intelligence. Material problems in this world make our head heavy, make our heart heavy. But spiritual intelligence can make our heart light. So problem is very heavy. Our heart is becoming very heavy. But when we when we expose ourselves, expose our intelligence to the spiritual wisdom coming in Bhagavad Gita, then we understand this problem is not a big problem. It's temporary because Krishna is there to protect me. So having spiritual wisdom, spiritual enlightenment will help us deal with material problems in a more mature manner. So, because Krishna will destroy the ignorance within the heart. Aham ajnanajam tamaha. So ajnana is the root cause of klesha, suffering. Why there is suffering? Because there is ajnana, avidya. So avidya kama karma bhihi. Because with avidya, with ignorance, people do kama, people have kama, material desires. And because of kama, they do karma, material activities. And because of karma, there is klesha, material suffering. So that avidya is destroyed by Krishna when we hear Bhagavad Gita, when we hear Bhagavatam. And problem will not disturb us. Problem will exist, it will not disturb us. We will not become bewildered, we will not become dysfunctional, right, when there is problem. Problems continue to exist, we will be able to see misery as mercy of Krishna when we are equipped with mature spiritual wisdom coming from Gita and Bhagavatam. Krishna will help us, right? So then Arjuna acknowledges Krishna's supremacy and he quotes various authorities and he requests Krishna, you have, can you please describe all your opulences? Krishna describes, I am this, I am that, right? It's a big list. Then whatever is great and splendorous and opulent in this entire creation is just a spark of my splendor. So mama tejomsa sambhavam, Krishna says that and concludes. The 11th chapter, Arjuna said, Krishna, you spoke about your vibhutis, now you show your vibhutis to my eyes. Then Krishna shows his universal form. Very elaborate description. It's not a 3D form, it's not 4D or 5D, which D, we don't know. Wherever Arjuna sees, he can see Krishna's thousands of faces, thousands of arms, thousands of hands, thousands of bellies, thousands of ornaments, thousands of weapons. Aneka bahudara vaktra netram pashyami tvam sarvato ananta rupam nantam na madhyam na punastavadim pashyami vishveshwara vishwarupa kiritinam gadinam chakrahastam. There are a series of shlokas that describe the grand form of Vishwarupa. Then Krishna, Arjuna becomes very fearful. Just like sometimes children may say, take me to circus, take me to zoo. And children will be taken to zoo and the parents are showing lion and tiger, children become very fearful, right? Arjuna asked, I want to see your Vishwarupa. As soon as Krishna showed his Vishwarupa, Arjuna became very fearful. He became very scared. Then he asked, who are you? Who are you? So ferocious, you are so frightening, so ghastly. Tell me your identity, what is your mission? What do you want to accomplish? Then Krishna said, Kalosmi, Loka Kshetkrit Pravriddho. I am the time factor. My mission is to destroy everything material in this world except you. Rite pitvam na bhavishyanti sarve. Pandavas will not be destroyed in this war. Everyone else will be destroyed. So you become an instrument. Nimitta matram bhavasavya sachin. I have killed all these people. I have killed Bhishma, Drona, Karna, Shakuni, all these people I have killed. You have to manifest their death. You are not the doer. I am the doer. Okay. But then why should I do? Yeah, you're one of the doers, right? You are a preliminary karta. Three kartas are there, right? Prakriti, Purusha and Jiva. So you're one of the doers, but I'm the ultimate doer. You just become an instrument in Krishna's plan. So then Arjuna offers prayers. He says, I'm sorry, I joked with you. Then Krishna gives a concise statement of bhakti at the end. To be able to see my Vishwarupa, or Vishnu Rupa, or Krishna Rupa, you should have bhakti, you should have devotion. Because you have devotion, that's why I showed you this form. I gave you a special chakshu. By the way, the vision that is given to Arjuna is not a great vision. It's Divya Chakshu, definitely. But Arjuna had a greater vision before. With that greater vision of affection, he was able to see Krishna in a two-handed form with love and friendship. But Krishna gave him a celestial vision, different spets, okay? And Arjuna said, let me remove these spets. Take away this vision. Take away this vision in front of me. So let me be able to see you in a very pleasant form, in a four-handed form, in a two-handed form. Then Krishna displayed his Vishnu Rupa and Vishwarupa. मत कर्म कृण मत परमो मत भक्त संगवर्जित निर्वैर सर्वभूतेषु यह समामेति पांडव. दिस इज अनदर समरी ऑफ भक्ति. सो 12th चैप्टर हैज मेनी थिंग्स. कृष्णा डिस्क्राइब्स द डिफिकल्टीज ऑफ इम्पर्सनलिस्टिक पाथ एंड द ईजी नेचर ऑफ भक्ति पाथ. देन कृष्णा गिव्स दिस डिफरेंट लेवल्स. फर्स्ट highest level is mayeva mana adhatsva, means mayeva mana adhatsva means always dedicate your mind to me, always think of me. That is called smaranatmika bhakti. Mayi buddhim niveshaya, if you can't connect with me at an emotional level, at the level of mind, then you come to intelligence. Try to connect with me with your intelligence. Mayi buddhim niveshaya. If you can't even do that, then you engage your senses in Krishna's service. So, first is called smaranatmika bhakti, second is mananatmika bhakti, third is abhyasarupa bhakti. So, abhyasarupa bhakti means engaging our senses in Krishna's service. So, first is heart, emotions. Next is head, intelligence. Third is hands, senses. To serve Krishna, all three are needed in bhakti. But amongst all three, having emotional attachment and deep love for Krishna, smaranatmika bhakti is the topmost. Fix your mind in me. After that, Krishna describes so many qualities that endear a devotee to Krishna: humility, forgiveness, satisfaction, non-envy, gratitude, equanimity, respect, compassion, tolerance, so many things. Okay, and in the 13th chapter, Krishna kind of revisits what he has already spoken. Basically, Arjuna asks 6 questions in the 13th chapter. Prakriti, Purusha, Jnanam, Gneya, then what else? Kshetram and Kshetrajna. So, to summarize it in just half minute, Kshetra is body, Kshetrajna means knower of body. And the knower of body is the soul or super soul. Okay, 2 questions answered. Next is Jnanam, Gneyam. Jnanam means knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge of matter and spirit. Knowledge of Prakriti, Purusha and Jiva. And Gneya means object of knowledge. Okay, that which is worth knowing. That is also again soul and super soul. And process of attaining knowledge. Amanitvam, Vadam, Bhitvam, Ahimsa, Kshanti, Rajam. There are so many big list of qualities given by Krishna here. That's a process of attaining knowledge. Process of attaining knowledge, first quality is humility. A humble person is really knowledgeable person. One who is arrogant, although he is a scholar, he is not knowledgeable. When there is knowledge, there is humility. Knowledge and humility are inseparable. And the so-called knowledge without humility is not actually knowledge. It's a display of one's scholarship and pride. Okay. So that's about Jnanam, Gnayam. Next is Prakriti and Purusha. Prakriti is the material nature. Purusha means, Purusha can be two. One is Jiva and one is the Supreme Lord. Jiva is not Purusha. Jiva is also Prakriti. Krishna described Jiva as Prakriti in the 7th chapter. But sometimes, because the Jiva has Purusha mentality, sometimes a conditioned Jiva is also called Purusha in the scriptures. But there is only one Purusha in the entire creation. That Purusha is Krishna. Everyone else is Prakriti. Okay. That is a quick summary of the 13th chapter. Now, 14th chapter describes the 3 modes of material nature: sattva guna, rajo guna, and tamo guna. So, the material nature or prakriti controls the conditioned souls in 3 ways, through 3 qualities: sattva guna, rajo guna, and tamo guna. And there are so many qualities: tatra sattvam nirmalatvat, prakashakam anamayam. So, sattva guna binds a living being with happiness and knowledge. And Rajoguna binds with an intense, ambitious desire to achieve things. Okay. And Tamoguna binds one with ignorance and sleep and laziness, lethargy, all that. So, these 3 modes completely control the living being. To come out of the 3 modes, to come out of the influence of 3 modes, Krishna speaks that you have to perform bhakti yoga. Mamcha yovya bhicharena bhakti yogena sevate. Sagunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So, by performing bhakti, one can come out of gunas. In the 7th chapter also Krishna said, Daivi hiyasha gunamai. 15th chapter is very small chapter, only 20 shlokas, where Krishna compares the material universe to be an upside down banyan tree. Okay, saurdhamoolam adhashyakam. Then Krishna also compares himself or presents himself as super soul. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mattah smriti jnanam apohanam cha. Krishna stays within the hearts of all living beings as super soul, as paramatma, and he gives knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness, so that we can function well. And he is vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda videva chaham. He is the compiler of Vedanta, knower of Vedanta. By studying all Vedas, he is to be known. Then in the 16th chapter, Krishna describes different qualities possessed by divine beings and demoniac beings. Okay, abhayam sattva samshuddhi, these are the various qualities of divine personalities. And dambha, darpha, abhimana, krodha, parushyam, these are the qualities of demoniac people. And he says that there are three gateways to hell. Trividham narakasyedam dvaram nashanam atmanah kamah krodhastatha lobhah tasmat etatrayam tyajet. Kama, krodha and lobha, lust, anger and greed are the three gateways to hell. One should try to stay away from these three gateways. Then he speaks that one has to take shelter of scriptures. One should not behave whimsically or independently. Scriptures are words of God. One who aligns one's actions and thoughts to the teachings of scriptures can attain success in material life and spiritual life. But one who acts whimsically is entitled for the right kind of treatment by material nature. So then Arjuna asks, okay, if somebody's faith is not based on scriptures, how should we understand that? Is that faith mode of goodness or mode of passion or mode of ignorance? Then Krishna describes how people who are influenced by one of these three modes, sattvaguna, rajaguna, tamaguna, behave in different ways. What is austerity in three modes? What is food in three modes? What are sacrifices in three modes? Accordingly, one's faith is ascertained. And he speaks about three types of austerity: anudvega, karma, vakyam, the culture of communication, culture of speech. We should not cause udvega to people. It's easier said than done, right? So we may cause udvega with our words, and we may become udvega by others' words. So, but we are in the process, work in progress. So next, in the last chapter, Krishna kind of revises many concepts that he has already taught in Gita. He speaks about the doers and he concludes with bhakti. How bhakti is the topmost path, which is the essential, categorical, conclusive teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yaschasmi tattvatah tato mam tattvato jnatva vishate tadanantaram. Bhaktya mam abhijanati, we can understand Krishna only with bhakti. Tattvatah, in truth, if you know Krishna, then one can attain Krishna. And Krishna speaks about super soul, Ishvarah sarvabhutanam. Finally, he gives his last two instructions. We compared Bhagavad Gita, we means Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur compared Bhagavad Gita with a jewel box, right? The top lid is Jnana Yoga, last six chapters. So on the top lid, there are two jewels. Okay? The two jewels are these two shlokas. There is one jewel of bhakti inside, middle six chapters, but there are two, like, just to decorate, on top here there is this apple, right? Symbol like that, there are some two jewels. That two jewels are these two shlokas. Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhya jimam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Manmana, bhava mad bhakto, same explanation in the 9th chapter. So one who does these four things, manmana, bhava mad bhakto, madhyaji mam namaskuru, will definitely go to the spiritual world, become an object of Krishna's mercy, and Krishna is promising that to Arjuna. Then final instruction, sarvadharman parityajya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami mashucham. Give up all the concocted principles that you have maintained in your mind so far. Give up everything and surrender unto me. Okay, mamekam sharanam vraja. Now, when Krishna is telling Arjuna, give up all dharmas and surrender unto me, why Arjuna has to do his kshatriya dharma fighting? I will give up my kshatriya dharma fighting and I will surrender unto you. But Krishna says, your fighting is not kshatriya dharma. Your fighting is bhagavata dharma. I have a mission here. Paritranaya sadhuna, vinashaya cha dushkritam, dharma samsthapanarthaya. These three things, this is my mission in my incarnation. So these three things I do personally. Sometimes I do with the assistance of my devotees. I'm asking you to assist me to fulfill these three things. So for that you have to fight. So Arjuna finally agreed to fight, not because he realized that he's a kshatriya. Literally, he forgot that he's a kshatriya, and now he realized I'm a kshatriya. He's reminded that he's a kshatriya. That's not the point. He realized his subordinate position to Krishna. He always had that realization, definitely. But Krishna purposefully kept Arjuna in bewilderment at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. Now Krishna, Arjuna says, all bewilderment is gone. Okay. So Arjuna just wants to act as an instrument in Krishna's plan. Arjuna, with all love and devotion, wants to assist Krishna, wants to serve Krishna. And that's why he agreed to fight. Okay. So, maam ekam sharanam vraja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. If you have taken shelter of Krishna, exclusive shelter of Krishna, maam ekam sharanam vraja, then where is papa here? Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Devotee who has taken shelter of Krishna has no papa. Esham tvantagatam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Here the papa word refers to some things that might create obstacle on the path of bhakti. I will remove all the obstacles on your path of bhakti. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. Now the shloka is very tricky. Sometimes people understand in different ways. Sarva dharman parityaja means you should be irresponsible. Okay. Then you take shelter of Krishna, he will relieve you from papa. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo. So Gita, or the ultimate teaching of Gita, is not just meant to relieve us from sinful reactions. It's meant to make us lovers of God. Arjuna started fighting in the Kurukshetra war with love for Krishna. I want to assist Krishna. Krishna wants to establish dharma. Let me do it. So that love. So from confusion, Arjuna was confused at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna brought clarity in Arjuna's mind. So Bhagavad Gita is that book that takes us on a journey from confusion to clarity. But what is the exact nature of this clarity? Clarity about one's own self as a lover of the Lord. I am a lover. Clarity about the Lord, however powerful he may be, he has love for me. He is my supreme well-wisher. Right? Suhurdam sarva bhutanam. So there is a clarity about one's self. There is a clarity about the supreme Lord. There is a clarity about one's duties. What am I supposed to do? There's complete clarity about my identity, my actions, and my protector, my master, my controller, my proprietor, my everything, my life and soul. So there's complete clarity of all the spiritual subject matters. So with that clarity, with love of God in his heart, Arjuna began to fight in the Kurukshetra war. And yatra yogeshwarah krishno yatra partho dhanurdharah tatra shrir vijayo bhuti dhruva nitir matir mama. Wherever Arjuna is there, wherever Krishna is there, there is complete victory, prosperity, happiness there. So with this, I'll conclude. Sorry for the delay. 1 hour 15 minutes we did. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.